you know, like in the normal and the stereotypical view about Gaza will be like sad area, conflict area, and nobody smile and nobody do anything. But actually this video, I feel in my own way that he did show some of the elements for the other people, saying that no, we are people, we have smiles, we have tears, we go to school, we do running, we have art, and we have all of the other stuff that we are care about like anybody in this earth. I know that he was a very, very good supportive of his cousin at the very beginning when he started doing his job.
So just one of the many losses for the people of Gaza this last couple of weeks. Well, thanks so much, Mohammed, and we will definitely keep following what's happening in Khan Yunis. This is Jacob Soderberg with Kibu Radio.
Lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover.
They pay paradise, put up a parking lot. With a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go? You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a...
Good morning. This is Kathleen Stevenson for the Radio Zine. My guest is Roberta Schwartz, who is with Neighbors for a Livable West Lynn. For 10 years, members of the community have been working to make a park of the White Oak Savannah there. They have been organizing a series of over 30 fundraisers to raise money for this cause. One of those events is tomorrow. It is the summer concert for the White Oak Savannah. That's from 3:30 to 5:30 at the Adult Community Center in West Lynn. We'll be talking more about that in this interview. Roberta Schwartz, thanks for coming into KBOO today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us, what is the White Oak Savannah and a little about why we should care about it?
Well, the White Oak Savannah is about a 20-acre parcel, and it overlooks I-205, but more importantly, it overlooks the Willamette Narrows. And when we've recently spoken to the Confederated Tribes of the Grand Ronde, they call it their forever land, a place that should always be kept as pristine and beautiful as it is now. When my husband and I first started hiking there about 10 years ago, we started seeing red ribbons attached to the trees, and we thought, uh-oh, this may not be a good thing. So we went to the city, and the city said, well, we're going to develop it. It's going to be 280,000 square feet of commercial office space. And so my husband, who's an electrical engineer, got together what was then a kind of new technology called PowerPoint, and he put together a PowerPoint presentation for both the community council, the city council, and the planning commission. And at both phases, he showed the different ways that this application did not really match our code for our city of West Lynn. So we won. Our neighbors couldn't believe it, but we won. And then we won a second time when it was appealed to the city council. So we decided that we should talk to the seller and see if he could be a willing seller for a park. And to that end, over time, he said, I'm willing to wait, and he did, and we finally got him the first $1 million for the first 14 of the 20 acres. So it is now saved in perpetuity. It is forever land, but there's 6 acres left to go. So this year, as you said, we're going to be doing 30 fundraisers this year, and a really big one will be tomorrow at the Adult Community Center, which is at 1180 Rosemont Road in West Lynn. And we'll have two fine local guitarists who normally play at the Benson Hotel. And Mariano Obligaso and his partner will be Tom Sandel. And they will be playing for 2 hours from 3:30 till 5:30. And the first 60 people who come will get a Moonstruck chocolate. We are so tickled that Moonstruck chocolate gave us what they call 3 cases. And so people will get to choose the truffle of their choice. The admission is only $15 for adults and $10 for kids. And Mariano and Tom play beautiful guitar. So we're really tickled.
And The white oak savanna, again, talk a little bit about what kind of trees those are and why they are significant, especially in the history of the Willamette Valley.
There used to be 600,000 acres of white oak savanna land up and down the Willamette Valley. Now there are only 2% left. Of that 2%, only 1% is owned by the people, like this public park. And so it becomes very important because there's so little left. There's a really good oak map questing project that Metro has started, and they're having volunteers, kind of citizen scientists, go all over and try to find where those Gary oaks, white oaks, are located. And we had a partner come with us yesterday, and there were so many that the battery ran out on his app. So I was so tickled he has to come back again and bring maybe two or three other people that are citizen scientists to help to map the hundreds of trees that are there. It overlooks the Willamette Valley. It overlooks the Willamette River. And most importantly, the Willamette Narrows, a very, very important place for the Native American people of Oregon. And we're so tickled to have their support. They've been helping us in many, many different ways since we started this. And to call it forever land, to call it part of ceded land that's important to them, makes it all that much more important to us. There are about 109 different species of vertebrae who live there, and some part of their life. They come in and out seasonally. There are also over 30 plants that have reemerged since the citizens started working on the 14 acres that we have now purchased as a city park and have started to restore. 7,800 hours of the local community's time has gone into painstakingly restoring the 14 of the 20 acres that we now have as a park. So we're pretty tickled about that.
And are those volunteer hours, are those all members of your group, or who has actually done the work on restoring this park and making this park?
That's such a great question, Kathleen. We've had people as diverse as the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, local church groups, employees of various large corporations have come over to help us. We've had our group, which is called the Neighbors for Livable West Lynn, is a small nonprofit group. And by the way, I'd like to give you the website, if I may, if anybody would like to look up the work we've been doing for the past 10 years. It's easy. It's just www.nlwl for Neighbors for Livable West Lynn. org. And when you go on, you'll see that we've been at this for about 10 years so far. So the groups have been many and varied, and we are so tickled with 7,800 hours logged in so far of hands in the dirt. It really makes you feel connected to the place.
Right. And how would someone get to the White Oak Savanna in West Lynn? Is it accessible to the average person in the area?
So it's really easy to get to, Kathleen. That's such a great question. It's off of I-205, the 10th Street exit. So as you get off the exit, you can come either way. But as you get off the exit, head towards the hills. And then you just turn right on Tanler, T-A-N-N-L-E-R Drive. And you can park anywhere on Tanler. There's a big, beautiful park sign there. And that's one of two trailheads. The trail was something that we've put in recently, and it's about 0.55 of a mile. So when you go up and down, it's a little bit over a mile. And I'm proud to tell people that we had the Northwest Youth Corps and lots of kids helping us to use wheelbarrows to bring in the gravel. So every inch of gravel on the trail, when you go down and look at that trail, think of the kids that used wheelbarrows, brought it up, and then raked it, and then went down and got another load of gravel in their wheelbarrow and brought it up. So every single inch is 300 person hours. So I always look at trails now when I go on them, knowing what's involved.
Right. And the other events that you're planning, you've had some of those 30 events already, right? But there are other events that are in store for fundraising for this park.
Absolutely. After tomorrow's 3:30 to 5:30 concert for the White Oak Savanna at 1180 Rosemont Road in West Lynn. We will also be having a festival at the farm, at the wonderful Fiala Farm in West Lynn, and that will be on September the 13th, and that will be all day. And what we've done is we've made wonderful connections with the community in the 10 years that we've been doing this. And by the way, I wanted to thank the gentleman who led in with Joni Mitchell's Paved Paradise and put up a parking lot, because I want to tell you, when we first got the go-ahead, we thought we need a signature song, and there's no song better than Big Yellow Taxi by Joni Mitchell. So we went to Warner Brothers, we went to Sony, we got okay with us for music and for lyrics. Then they sent us to her publicist, who sent us to her agent, and her agent said, well, it's her favorite song, she never lets people use it. And so I said, could you just send this paragraph and a few photographs that we've taken? And a week later, she called me and she said, are you sitting down? And I said, yes. And she said, Joni Mitchell said yes. So we've been using her song every time we make a major presentation to a funding group ever since.
Wow.
So thanks, Joni Mitchell.
And how about any other events that you want to alert people to that are coming up for the fundraising for this project?
We're going to have a really, really nice, Ace Hardware in West Lynn is going to have a 10% day for us on August the 28th. And so we'd love it if people would come and buy things at Ace Hardware that day. On August 22nd, anyone who likes to get their hands in the ground and would like to come and join us, we're going to have about 35 students from Japan, Korea, and Taiwan, and they're summer students at Merrillhurst. They're going to come and work for 2 hours in the White Oak Savannah on August 22nd, and because they like to give back and they like to practice their English. So we'd love to have people come. It's a Solve event. We're going to have some tools available, but if you bring your pair of loppers and a good appetite and bring your own lunch, after we have worked in the Savannah for 2 hours from 10 until 12 on August 22nd, we'll then be going to the Fiala Farm, and Mr. Fiala will be taking all the students on a nice tour of his 56-acre Century Farm. So that's going to be a fun day. We're going to be joined by Michael Carnosh of the Confederated Tribes of the Grand Ronde that day, and also Steve Amon, who's doing a 10-minute segment on a community making a park. He's going to be there that day and be interviewing some of the students, and hopefully Michael Carnosh as well.
Talk a little bit about the fundraising for this, the goals that you've had and the match that you've had, and just how much you have to go and how close you are.
For the first 14 acres, we needed $1 million. And so we got one-third of that in a grant from Metro. So it was $333,000. We got a third of it from the city of West Lynn. And then we also were able to get a third of it from Oregon Parks and Rec. So those three combined, we got our first $1 million. The owner also donated a portion of the property to make a complete package for the first 14 acres. For the next 6 acres, which is the lower elevation and is zoned office business commercial, so it's most expensive, it's least steep. For that, we have received a $500,000 Metro grant, and we need to match that by the middle of next year. And to that end, we've been having these fundraisers. People have been donating and pledging. Pledges are wonderful things. And we are now to the point of about $340,000. We have applied for a grant from the Confederated Tribes of the Grand Ronde, which is for another $100,000, and have fingers and toes and legs and everything crossed. And if that should happen as well, we'll be within about $60,000 of the goal of matching a one-on-one for the $500,000. And then we were hoping that the very willing seller will donate a portion of the land as well. We were hoping that will happen. And then if that happens, we'll get the last 6 acres and all 20 acres will be saved in perpetuity. It will be forever land.
This project must mean an incredible amount of have an incredible amount of meaning for you, and with all the work that you've done on it, and as you've mentioned, other people have done on it. How has this affected how you view this place when you're there, or even how you think about this place? How do you think of it now?
Well, this morning I woke up and the first thing I thought I'd do was work for a couple of hours up in the savannah. So I did. I pulled some of the invasives. Anybody who's worked on a big project knows you take out some invasives and more invasives come. So you do that for several years until you get natives coming in. It's a legacy. This is a legacy property as far as I'm concerned. It makes me feel like there's a gateway into West Lynn from both angles. From our side, you see the White Oak Savannah when you come in on I-205. And I have many people saying, I've never been there, but I've passed by it thousands of times in my life. And that makes me very happy. And it makes me want to say, come on over, go on the trail and get up to the swings up at the top. There are swings hanging from the tree, which Metro was very tickled about. Real tree swings, they said. And we said, yep. So I'd like people who are passing by in their cars to one day stop and take the trail up and see it. The other thing that I think is amazing about this property, my mom never got a chance to see it. She died at 93. But one of the last pictures I have is of her in San Clemente, California, with an Oregonian article on her lap spread out. And it was about the grassroots movement to save this place. And so it really makes me feel connected to my mom to go there. It makes me feel connected to the community, and we've met some of the finest people we've ever known by virtue of being involved with saving this park.
Roberta Schwartz, before we go, just give people the website again for connecting and also the basics on the event tomorrow.
Thank you. The website is www.nlwl, stands for Neighbors for a Livable West Lynn. org. People can feel free to give me a call if they would like. If they get into the website, there's a way to contact us, so that's fine. They can reach me if they have any questions about tomorrow's wonderful concert for the White Oak Savannah, which will be at 1180 Rosemont Road in West Lynn. And there is a way to contact me via the website. So I hope you folks will come. We'd like to really pack the place. And the first 60 people in the door will get a Moonstruck chocolate truffle of their choice. We have three different kinds of truffles to choose from. And we want to thank Moonstruck so much. And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Roberta Schwartz, for coming in and talking about this. Again, we've been talking about the Neighbors for a Livable West Lynn and the White Oak Savannah there and the park there. So thanks a lot. This is Kathleen Stevenson for the Radio Zine. Stay tuned. Daniel Flessis is coming in, and we're going to be hearing about some art projects. Thank you.
than sparks. That sounded pretty good, Sam. Hey, folks. My name is Daniel Flessis, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. Sort of a little arts added. It's not really a show. It's just going to be an extra segment because there is a very interesting installation that's happening that would be of interest to, I imagine, anybody that's ever text messaged someone in their relationship. Amy Conway and Erica Thomas of the Dreamland Art Collective, they're curating a series of events that starts July 27th and goes to August. The date is cut off. What is the August?
August 1st.
August 1st, which is Friday. Okay, so that's next week at the Weird Shift storefront. This is a space that's at 201 North Alberta in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
A series of, let's see, you say relational performances, including text message plays, getting into bed with strangers, dance and music collaborations, and more. So here is Amy Conway, Erica Thomas, and I'm here with Danielle Parks, and we're going to talk to you about this. So how did this come about? They don't know which one to speak first. I should add that this is a project of definitely equal, both of you guys thought of it at the same time.
Yeah, Amy and I are equal collaborators in almost everything we do together. So it's sometimes hard to answer that question of how things came about. A lot of times they come about through conversations between the two of us, or one of us will have a kind of an odd thought and then call or text the other person and say, like, I thought of this thing. What about that? And then it just sort of evolves, and it's really hard to kind of unravel where it started.
And then you're also probably talking about the difficulties of texting, perhaps, or what happens when you try?
Yeah, definitely. Amy, do you want to? Yeah, I mean, the text message performances, I think, started, I have to say, I think that one I can actually trace back to a specific thing, which is just that I've noticed at parties or social gatherings that I lately have seen people try to explain a situation that's happened to them and just say, no, wait, let me get my phone out. And they'll get their phone out and read the whole text message conversation. And, you know, that